took a walk down the hall, and the sun is out. I don't know how long that's going to last. Welcome back. Welcome to the program. Good afternoon. Good morning. What's cracking? I am Jim Rome. All right, so we start hour number three. Coming up in about 20 minutes, former NCAA champ, two-time NBA All-Star, 10-year NBA vet, member of the College Basketball Hall of Fame, Grandmama Larry Johnson joins us. I'm fired up for that. We had actress Steve Howey on last hour. That was fun. That was a lot of fun. And I said, don't give it up, but give me your reaction. He mentioned just in passing that he saw John Wick 4, which is dropping this weekend, but he saw it last night. He saw the premiere, or a premiere. I said, don't give it up, but what was your reaction? And he said it was awesome. I said, Dr. Jano and I were already talking about it. Well, actually, I was talking about it, and Dr. Jano was listening. So we'll see about that. We talked at the top of the program, Rick Pitino to St. John's. That had been rumored. St. John's gets their guy. I love that hire. And I told you, clones, I know you. I know what you'll do with that. I know what you've done with that for the past 10 years or so. I understand. And then I played a Mark in Hollywood call, and I said, leave it at that. That's got to be enough. Let's just talk about the basketball angle. And for the most part, you have. I think it's a great hire myself. I like it a lot. Speaking of college basketball, then we had Faye call up, and Faye was saying, hey, Jim, she kind of rambled on about a few things. Very likable gal. She rambled on about a couple of things and then said, can I get some of that jungle juju for Bama? Because my bracket's totally busted. Can you give me some of that there jungle juju? I said, Faye. First of all, I don't control the jungle juju. That's the beauty of the, quote, jungle juju.
Jungle juju.
Jungle juju. Jungle mojo. Jungle juice.
Jungle juju.
Jungle, I don't know, whatever. You mean the jungle karma, whatever it is. I do not control it. It just goes. It goes generally to people who say and respect the jungle and say nice things. And then those who dog us, that take unwarranted and unsolicited runs at us, have the jungle juju come back and bite them
jungle
in the ass. That's just how that works. I don't control it. I can't decide. But I can tell you this. Bama ain't getting it. Man, Bama's so jacked right now that I use words like ain't. All right, so I'm not really sure. So let's go. That brings us to the next topic. I'm not really sure that there has been a time that I can remember where one of the favorites, an overwhelming favorite, or at least the number one seed overall, was as unlikable as this year's Alabama Crimson Tide team. For instance, Duke. People hate Duke, but people love Duke. It's one or the other. It's like the Yankees. People hate the Yankees. People love the Yankees. When I'm looking at this Alabama team outside of Tuscaloosa, I'm seeing a lot of dislike, and it's easy to see why. That's not a very likable outfit right about now, and that's putting it nicely. They're kind of like the bad boys of college basketball, except that they earn that nickname off the court with capital murder indictments instead of brutal physical play on the court, right? In fact, never mind bad boys. They're just bad guys. That's what happens when you spend a season stacking capital murder indictments and pat-down intros and tone-deaf comments from the head coach and fans wearing killing our way through the SEC in 23 shirts. What happens is you find out that it's really hard for people to root for you other than Faye. Because Faye, I think, has got some action. I myself had some action.
Jungle juju.
I hit them before that story broke. And I'm not even rooting for them. I get paid if they win. And I find it very hard to root for them. People find it very hard to pull for a coach who tried to cover for his star player's involvement in a fatal shooting by saying that he was at the, quote, wrong spot at the wrong time, which was an all-time terrible take. All-time terrible take. Somehow even worse than LeBron's not a failure at all. Last season was not a failure at all. Not a failure at all. No. Yeah, it's even worse than that. In fact, much worse. LeBron's take is an all-time terrible take, but Oates' take is so much worse. Oates also tried to hit us with, he, quote, can't control everything anybody does outside of practice. As if somebody being shot and killed in Tuscaloosa and Alabama basketball players somehow being involved is like just somehow a case of kids being college kids rather than what it actually is, a capital murder case that Alabama players were involved in. That's why some of us are finding it tough to hype the tournament number one overall seed right about now. And I never thought that I would say this, but by some of us, you know who's included in some of us? Nick Saban. Apparently Nick Saban is not a big fan of Nate Oates or that squad either right now. And yes, Saban is dealing with one of his own, quote, being in the wrong place at the wrong time. Except that's not the explanation he's giving for it. I'm talking about freshman DB Tony Mitchell, who was arrested last week in Florida on drug and weapons charges. And according to Holmes County, Florida police, Mitchell accelerated to 141 miles per hour, 141, while attempting to flee. And I did not misspeak. 141 miles per hour. How many of you listening have ever hit that number driving? I'm in my late 50s, as Howie pointed out. Actually, he said I was, quote, old as hell. He's right. I'm in my late 50s, and not to be a bag, but I've owned cars that go that fast. Not to be an even bigger bag, I own a car right now that will go that fast. I've only gone that fast once in my entire life. Once. And that was at the Brickyard with only one car on the track, the pace car. And I wasn't even driving. Jimmy Johnson was. And he got the pace car up to 150. And I'm not going to lie. It was pretty scary. But this dude was going 141 while attempting to flee the scene. Like, terrifying stuff. And another horrible look for that athletic program and the SEC. But at least Saban, unlike Oates, didn't act like it didn't happen. Didn't act like it was just one of those things. Didn't act like, well, Saban. And accuse all of us of feeding his dude rat poison. No. Saban suspended Mitchell from all team activities indefinitely. Then he hit the podium and essentially used the opportunity to set the record straight on Mitchell and on Oates and the Crimson Tide hoops program. Remember that Oates quote, wrong spot at the wrong time. Remember that quote when you listen to this from the Nicktator about his player yesterday.
Tony Mitchell has been suspended from the team on all team activities until we gather more information about the situation and what his legal circumstance is. And, guys, everybody's got an opportunity to make choices and decisions. There's no such thing in being at the wrong place at the wrong time. You got to be responsible for who you're with, who you're around, and what you do, who you associate yourself with, and the situations that you put yourself in. So, it is what it is, but there is, cause and effect when you make, choices and decisions that put you in bad situations.
Well, look at that. Preach, Red Ass. Oh, Red Ass is back. Dropping truth bombs and swinging at his own basketball coach. Dude just took a flamethrower to Nate Oates. He didn't just run him under the bus. He set him on fire, and then he ran him under the bus. Wouldn't expect those two to be exchanging notes and thoughts on how to lead and motivate young athletes anytime soon. Or how to handle criminal activity anytime soon. And yes, Bama fan, I am well aware that Mitchell has not been charged with anything at all. But that does not mean that he's not guilty. He is. He is. He's guilty of extremely horrible judgment. And absolutely, the university can take action even if authorities haven't. Just know this, Saban clearly is not buying any of that bullcrap that came flying out of Oates' pie hole then or even now. Quote, there's no such thing as being in the wrong place at the wrong time. You got to be responsible for who you're with, who you're around, and what you do, who you associate yourself with, and the situations you put yourself in. End of quote.
And being at the wrong place at the wrong time, you got to be responsible for who you're with, who you're around, and what you do, who you associate yourself with, and the situations that you put yourself in.
Hey, Nate Oates, you taking notes? Because that's the answer that you should have given. You know, it's been almost a year since Saban's feud with Jimbo Fisher, a.k.a. Thin Skin. You know, the one where Jimbo called him a despicable narcissist.
It's despicable. A narcissist.
And he thinks he's God. And it was like the best thing ever.
Some people think they're God.
Or so I thought. It was the greatest coaching beef ever until Saban one-upped it by turning on his own basketball coach in the middle of a major tournament run. Saban might be a giant red ass, but he's also trying to be a giant wet blanket on his own athletic program, and I could not respect it any more than I do. He's right. He's right. Of course he's sitting there all red-assed and bent because, one, the basketball team is better than the football team right now. You know he doesn't like that at all. That Oates was turning that into a basketball school. No, you know what he's pissed about, too, is that it's making his program look bad. It's making the entire athletic program look bad. It's making the school look bad. It's making everybody look bad. Of course, red ass is red-assed. That's what red ass does. But here's the other thing that red ass does. He backpedals. He can still hit a backpedal like he's still at Kent State playing DB in the early 70s. That's how Thin Skin v. Red Ass ultimately ended, with both these dudes backing down and both dudes claiming everything's all good. Even though Saban said that Jimbo, quote, bought every player on his team, end of quote. And even though Jimbo called Saban a despicable narcissist who thinks he's a god.
A narcissist.
Yet despite all those fighting words, words that almost ensured that hands could be thrown, they both backed the hell down. This time, the whole backpedal moved at lightning speed because only a few hours after Saban and his Coca-Cola walked off the podium, this tweet from a Tuscaloosa news columnist popped up. At Chase Goodbread, quote, affirmatively told, among other scribes, that Saban saying there's no such thing as being in the wrong place at the wrong time was not a reference to UA basketball coach Nate Oates. Coincidental. End of tweet. Javi, can you help me out here? Let me take a breath first. All right, I'm good. Oh, a quinky dink. My man, you're seriously asking us to believe that the football coach at Alabama just happened to use the same exact wording. The same exact wording as his basketball coach. But it's got nothing to do with the other. He just happened to use that phrase in the exact opposite way to make the exact opposite point in talking about his own player. But he wasn't talking about his basketball coach. Good luck finding anybody who's going to believe that, red ass. Absolutely, that was a reference to Nate Oates. Absolutely, it was. I mean, come on, Nick. I'm trying so hard to give you all the credit in the world. Credit for coming down strong on a player who made some really bad choices. Credit for calling out Nate Oates. I'm giving you all this credit, which you deserved. And now you're backpedaling once again like you're running around in spandex at the combine. Come on, red ass. Say what you mean. Mean what you say. At least for more than 2 hours. And then don't turn around and blame it on the media. Or try and say it's some kind of coinkydink. Especially when we all agree with you, Nick. Nick, you've been in this game way too long to be doing things like that. Even if you are known for the backpedal. You said it. You meant it. I am holding you to it. I do not accept that that was a coincidence. Coinkydink denied, Nick. Coincidence not accepted, Nick. Get the hell out of here with that, Nick. Coinkydink denied, Nick. Coinkydink swatted, Nick. Get the hell out of here with that. Come on. So disappointing, yet so predictable. Hey, Nick. I usually don't have to say this about a Hall of Famer and a GOAT, but do better, man. Come on with that. When we come back, basketball legend, Larry Johnson. How about another phone call? It's been one of our better phone call days in quite some time. Some weird, some great, some terrible. Like I said, one of our better phone call days. Larry Johnson, next phone call is after that.
You're listening to the Jim Rome Show.
So what you saying?
Welcome back. I'm Jim Rome. We are live and in Southern California. If you're on hold, you want to stay there because right now I'm joined via Zoom by a former college and NBA great. He played his college ball at UNLV, of course, won the 1990 National Championship, back-to-back Final Four trips in 90 and 91. 1991 Wooden Award winner as the National Player of the Year, two-time first-team All-American. He was the top pick overall in 1991, taken by the Hornets. He played 10 years in the NBA for the Hornets and the Knicks. He appears courtesy of DirecTV for Business, which we will talk about. I'm joined right now by Larry Johnson. Larry, what's going on? It's great to have you. How are you?
I appreciate that introduction, man. How are you guys? Thanks for having me on.
Dude, now you have no idea how much I appreciate introducing you like that, but you're about to find out because here is why you had, it's great to have you on, you had a great career in the NBA, and I want to talk to you about that. But Larry, selfishly, I need to talk about the UNLV years because I went to UC Santa Barbara. I was there when Jerry Pym arrived. I was there when Brian Shaw showed up on campus. I was there when Ben Howland was an assistant, and I was there when you all would come into the Thunderdome. They were some of the best memories of my entire life as a student and as a young broadcaster. What do you remember about the great matchups and the energy in the Thunderdome back in the day?
Oh, great matchups. Now it's a great matchup now. Okay. You know, I remember my 2 years, I played 2 years at UNLV, and my 2 years, UC Santa Barbara was always competitive. My junior year, actually, when we won national championship, we lost up there. So I remember that vividly, getting my butt kicked when we went up there. I remember the campus was beautiful, and it was a beautiful day, and then we took an L. So, you know, they was always pretty competitive back then, man, and I don't know what's going on now, but, yo, they had a nice program back then.
Dude, you're so funny. Oh, it was a great matchup. Oh, is that how it is? You beat me to it. I was going to say, we did get you in 90. We got you in 90 when you guys won it all. The thing about that year was, I'm glad you remember that night because I was going to bring that up only because you did win it all that year. You only lost 5 games that year, and we got you in one of those 5 games. I was in the building that night. I mean, that was a wild night. Do you remember anything in particular about that night other than the L?
No, you know, that year, what I remember about that year, the 5 L's we took, the 5 losses we took, we was never at full force. We was always, the year before, guys was missing games, and they, you know, we was on that little probation thing. You know, NC2A was always messing with us.
Now it's a little probation thing.
We was on that little probation thing where guys had to sit out games. Only somebody that played every game that year was me. And that was only because I wasn't at UNLV the year before. I was in junior college the year before, but everybody the year before got in trouble, and they had to pick and choose which games to sit out. And I think it was Moses Scary and David Butler that had to sit out the game against you guys, and you guys got the L. You got the win. So you did what you had to do. So You know, it just made us stronger once we got back to full force.
Larry Johnson joining us. I'll tell you what, you know, if availability is your best ability, I've talked to him about it over the years, Larry, but Greg Anthony, I think that was that the year, one of the years he had that broken jaw and he had it wired shut. And I think it was like for a month. And I remember he came into our building, man, and he hit the deck hard. He hit the deck hard. I'm like, this dude is going to have a shattered face. Man, my man popped right back up like it was nothing. Like, how tough was Greg Anthony back in the day?
He was a tough dude from Las Vegas, man. Yeah, that was right around a month before the tournament started. He broke his jaw, and he wore like this mask, like this, I don't know, like this Freddy Krueger mask he had on, made him look scary. But yeah, and then he just kept sticking his nose in it. And, you know, he wanted it bad. He couldn't talk for like a month, which was best for us. You know, because the best thing he do, he gets mad at me today because I tell him, man, you're a better announcer than you were a basketball player. So he cusses me out when I say that to him. But, you know, I tell him, man, your best attribute is you talk your butt off. So, you know, he couldn't talk for a month. So that helped us win it, too.
That's really funny. Larry Johnson joining us. He's appearing today, courtesy of DirecTV for Business, which we'll get to in a minute. Larry, what about Tark? Like, I've been around a lot of guys. I don't ever think I've been around a team that loved a coach as much as you guys love Jerry Tarkanian. What was it about Tark? Why were you all so connected to Tark the way you were?
You know, you hear guys, you hear when we talk all the time, athletes talk about their coaches and college coaches, and they start mentioning about a family and like a father figure. Well, you know, that's what Tark was. I mean, I don't know. I don't want to be a cliche, but, you know, he was dealing with inner city guys that apparently, like myself, come from a broken home. I never knew my father. Most of my coaches was like fathers to me. And then you get to UNLV, you get to college, which is what? Right before you want to say adulthood, I guess, or right before you get out into the real world. So that was the last voice the last male figure of authority that I would go through that would help me throughout the rest of my life. And, man, he was just straight up with it. You know, there was no sugarcoating anything with Coach Tark. He never played favorites. He treated me like the 12th man on the team. And, you know, you respect him for that. You know, the love that we was pouring out for Tark, it was because of the love that not only Coach Tarkanian, his whole family. I just went and saw his wife, Lois, who was like mothers to us all. So, you know, the whole family, Danny, George, the whole family was family. And that's, you know, that's what it was with Coach Tark, and he treated every player the same.
Larry Johnson joining us for a few more moments. So, Larry, we talked about 1990, and we may have gotten you in our building, but you got that whole thing. And not only that, you ran right over Duke. You won by 30, still the largest margin of victory in a championship game. Like, going into that game, did you expect to run them right out of the gym like that? What were your expectations going into that night?
Well, first, I noticed if you start every question with how y'all got us up there. Oh, yeah, we got you.
I'm going to end every question like that, too, man.
And y'all didn't get anything, man. Y'all stole a win. Y'all stole one win.
Larry, Larry, my man, you're a College Hall of Famer. Yeah. You understand the concept of scoreboard. My man, look up at it. Us 78, you 70. My dude.
Listen, can I talk about the Duke game? I can't talk about the Duke game, right?
Let's talk about that one. Yeah, tell me about that. What do you remember about that night?
Before that game, we got a boost. We was all Walter Payton fan. I don't know if you go back that far.
Oh, I do.
But yeah. Walter Payton coming to the locker room. Okay. Well, Walter came in. And you know, Coach Tark has some of the craziest relationships. So how would he and Walter Payton? Walter just loved Coach. And Coach asked him to come into the locker room and speak to us before the game. And, you know, his words, and he was telling us that you could be great tonight and you guys may never get this opportunity again. But I listened to everything Walter said, and I took it out on the court with me because, I was a big fan of Walter. The whole team was. And I don't think we expected the blowout that we got, you know, the records that we set, but we did expect to win the game.
Larry, that is a great story. Yeah, that's a great story you tell. Yeah. Before you go, who else, when you say Tark, and you're right, man, Tark knew everybody and people love Tark. I'm kind of curious, when you say that he brought in some like crazy relationships or people you might not expect, like Walter Payton, like how was he connected to Tark? Who else do you remember? Like, who else did Tark bring in? You're like, damn, how does he know him or her?
I met the fighters. I met Mike Tyson, Andy Vander Holyfield through Coach Tark. They was in office. Like, yo, what you dudes doing at Coach Tark? You know, and they was over Coach Tark like he was the star, right? You know, so, you know, he just had some of the craziest relationships. Everybody loved him. Everybody loved him. When I went to New York, you wouldn't believe when I played for New York, I got more Tark questions from New Yorkers than anybody. Oh, he biting on a towel. They all love Jerry.
That's amazing, the way you just told that story. And I would say this. Hey, I am of that age. I know. I used to cover the fights back then. Man, Vegas is still Vegas. Vegas will always be Vegas. But I was there for Tyson, Holyfield. Man, there was nothing like a lead up to a big fight. Like there was nothing like, you know, you guys running the way you ran back in the day. Except when we came into town, and I know that kind of frightened you guys a little bit. Anyway,
No, it did not.
My guy. You're the best. Tell me about what you're doing with DirecTV for Business. What are you doing with these folks?
Well, I'm just back here in Las Vegas helping DirecTV for Business. You know, here in Las Vegas and all over the country, there's over 300,000 bars and restaurants where you can go and watch these games. If you're a big-time basketball fan, and I know you are like I am, they provide over 300,000 bars and restaurants to go watch the game. And I'm just here in Las Vegas at Big Chicken, and myself, DirecTV for Business and Big Chicken, we're making a donation to the Shaquille O'Neal Foundation.
That's awesome. Larry, so what's it like for you being back there? I mean, obviously, you were the guy, so everybody's happy to see you. All the doors open up. But one last thought, since you're in Vegas, it's kind of crazy, right? Like, what, the NFL is in Vegas, the NHL is in Vegas, the NBA is going to be in Vegas. What was it like when you guys, I mean, there was so much competition and so many shows, but you were the only game in town. What was it like back in the day when you were a college athlete and you guys were running the way you were?
It was, you hit it on the head. It was, we were the only game in town. Wayne Newton, we was talking about Coach Tarks and Wayne Newton, all these guys, you know, there was always shows, but the shows were secondary to the UNLV. The hardest ticket to get was the UNLV basketball game back then. Check it out. In the 90s, you know, when we was kicking UC Santa Barbara's butt and all that, the hardest ticket to get wasn't a Wayne Newton ticket or those tickets. It was a UNLV basketball ticket.
Oh, no,
then.
Preach,
so,
dude, preach.
You know, to be
– Facts. That's
yeah,
true.
To be BMO – In Las Vegas, but it's different now. So now you got the girls who, congratulations, won the the women's NBA this year. They won that. And then you got Raiders come in town. I've always been a big Raiders fan. So it's different now, along with the Knights. So now you got to share the spotlight, UNLV. You got to go back to winning.
Now, hey, listen, it hurts me to say this, but it's true. When you guys came into the Thunderdome, it's like the freaking Lakers, man. You guys on your layup lines. It's just the buzz, man, the energy. And Thomas and Mac being sold out every single night. One last thought. Dude, you've been so awesome, by the way. Appreciate you so much. The Big West, a little shout-out for the Big West because we get no respect. Back then, I know you don't want to give anybody else credit, but, man, it was not a bad conference, right? Long Beach State, New Mexico State, us, you guys were top dogs, obviously. But we had three or four teams getting into the tournament back then. That conference was pretty nice, wasn't it?
That conference was real nice. I mean, in my 2 years in the Big West, I put our conference up against, you know, all these conferences. You know, the Big East ruled for a while, but, I mean, you guys, Long Beach State, New Mexico State, us, we would beat any of them teams over there. We would beat any of them teams in the West, ACC, and we did. I think, you know, my senior year was 91. I think we had four or maybe five teams in the tournament that year, and I think everybody won their first game, including UC Santa Barbara.
Hell yes. That's what I'm talking about. Finally, some respect. That's Larry Johnson. Larry, I've been saying it on the show all day long. I've been looking forward to the conversation. And not only did you live up to all the hype, you smashed it. He appeared courtesy of DirecTV for Business. Larry, really appreciate you. That was a lot of fun, dude. Thanks so much for doing that.
Guys, thanks for having me. I appreciate it, man.
You have a great day, man. That was a lot of fun. Larry Johnson joining us. Man, great interview day. Both our guests were tremendous. That was fun. Maybe not as fun for you as it was for me and him and our other Gaucho fam, but those were some great times. Trust me, anybody who went to UCSB in and around that time enjoyed that conversation and understands exactly what I'm talking about. And him not giving us any respect is even funnier. He's like, oh, how funny was that the way it started early in the conversation too? Oh, we had competitive matchups. Oh, is that how it is now? No, dude, that's how it was then. We beat you. Once. All right, I'm going to take a short time out. When we come back, one last segment, open phones. Got Jim Rohn podcast coming up this week. Bob Myers, GM of the Golden State Warriors, is my guest. I'm not sure we have ever done Bob long form. So look for that. That'll push you. You want to think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all of your car care needs. They're close, they're convenient, they're known for their guaranteed everyday low prices, and their excellent customer service from the professional parts people you know you can trust. Stop by your local O'Reilly Auto Parts today or visit O'ReillyAuto.com. Yeah, no lie. Obviously, you can tell I had a little fun with that. Larry Johnson showing up. What an awesome, awesome dude that was. Great conversation. Great conversation. Nothing like a couple of old guys talking junk to each other about something that happened decades ago and remembering it differently. I can't say how funny I thought that was when I started him off by saying, you know, we had some great matchups. He's like, oh, is that how we're viewing them now? Great matchups? How about when he checked me near the end of the interview and said, are you going to start every question with that you beat us in 1990? Well, yes. That's how important it was for us. That's how big that was for us. El Capitan tweets, yo, is LJ showing respect to the 805 right now? An all-time interview. Yeah, but dude, I had to work hard for it, didn't I? I had to work hard to get that respect. You know, you have to understand how different everything is right now. And he's laid it out perfectly. How different. Everything changes. Everything evolves. But how different Vegas is. Vegas was always Vegas. Vegas always had all that juice. But when they were running back then, they were the best show in town. And I'm talking about a town that had amazing shows. The Running Rebs back then were the biggest show in town. They were unbelievable. So imagine these guys, and they would roll into our building, the, quote, campus event center at UC Santa Barbara, also known as the Thunderdome, where we had, like, max capacity of a little over 6,000. And these dudes were ranked. When we beat them that year, they were ranked second. And they'd run in. I mean, we're talking about Larry Bleeping Johnson, top pick, Greg Anthony, future NBAer, Stacey Augmon, Mo Scurry, Anderson Hunt. And these guys would run into our building, and it was like the LA Lakers, but not even the Lakers, like the Magic Johnson Lakers. It was incredible, the energy. You bet your ass I'm going to remind you that we beat you in 1990. It's one of the best nights ever. I love that he gave it back, though. I love that he had fun with that. That was a fun conversation. Tyler B. Jones, 83, writes, I was only 8. But when number one UNLV played number two Arkansas, I still remember how bad my Hogs got our ass kicked. And as a Hog fan, I became a Larry Johnson fan that day. Little did I know he told Nolan Richardson, you need to get you some men. And he did. It sounds like something Larry would say back in the day. To Arkansas, 40 minutes of hell. To Nolan Richardson, you need to get yourself some men. Man, nothing makes me happier than the Big West talking that kind of junk to the SEC. That is awesome. Rome Skillet. Old red ass had Oates right where he wanted him, and he let him off the hook. Signed, Denny Green. War the Nictator and Oates going one-on-one.
Crown their ass.
Yeah. I mean, you're really going to tell me that that's not who he was talking about? Are you really going to tell me that Nick Saban was not talking about Nate Oates when he made that comment? I mean, come on. That was just a quinky-dink? Stop with that. Stucknut, what was the fastest you ever got the XR4TI going? And was it when the crew was pushing you? No, let me tell you something. Before that car became the piece of crap that it's now known for, that thing was quick, yo. Turbo? That thing was quick. Like I said, I've had some nice cars. Back in the day when I was a real car guy, I had some exotics. I mean, like serious cars. the XR4Ti MiraCore. Maybe because it was the first new car I ever had, but that bitch was fast. Fast. Until the odometer hit 15001, and then it was up on blocks all the time. And then it went about as fast as the crew pushing it. What do you think, Tommy? Do you trust a phone call here? Not really. Let's see what else we got here. Hey, Rome. Kind of weak of you to mention that story of your gauchos beating UNLV for years, only to have Larry let us know that they were down men. Signed, Jay in Denver. Whatever the hell that means. I did think that was pretty funny, too. Like, yeah, well, we were missing guys. Right, because you cheated. And they were suspended. Remember that part? I thought that story he told about Greg Anthony was awesome, too. He's like, man, he was Las Vegas tough. I was a tough dude. He had a broken jaw, but I enjoyed it because he couldn't talk. I always tell him you're a better commentator or broadcaster than you were a basketball player. LJ's a crack-up, man. I knew he was funny and a good dude. I didn't know he was that funny.
Now it's a great matchup now, huh? Okay, okay.
Oh, now it's a great matchup. Dude, you know it was a great matchup. You know we gave you hell. And you know we beat you the year you won it all. Oh, now it's a great matchup. Oh, okay. You got to rack Grandmama. Alvy.
Rack him.
Rack him. I want to remind you, coming up tomorrow, we are efforting a number of people regarding the tournament. Looks like we got ourselves Rodney Terry booked this week. I'm efforting Kelvin Sampson. I'm efforting Mitch Henderson. I normally don't want to jinx things, but I'm trying to get to as many of the Sweet 16 coaches as possible before the games themselves. I've got Golden State Warriors GM Bob Myers coming up, and that's going to be our Jim Rome podcast tomorrow. So if you don't mind, make a note of all of that. Hey, Mr. Rome, like Mr. Cameron Newton, I will be having a pro day. I will model my skills in kicker kicking, cliche spouting, looking completely unprepared and overwhelmed, and of course, skank grinding. You cannot tell me there are 32 guys better than me, so much so that I deserve a night out. Signed, Pervin Liar.
That was devastating. Heartbreaking.
Well, now we're kind of getting off the beaten path, right? Hey, Jim, Rick Pitino deserves the jungle karma, but do not sleep on Ed Cooley coming to Georgetown. Your interview with him had me ready to run through a wall, and he can coach my kids anytime. War Big East reinvention and the reinvention project. Pitino shows there are always good things to come. Signed, JD in Philly. Hopeful Cheetown alumni. I'm telling you, man, I love Ed Cooley going to Georgetown. I'm just saying, it's a challenging gig. It's a really challenging gig, but if anybody's up for it, it's Ed Cooley. I think that's a really good hire, and I understand why he left. And so for some of you in Providence, like that one caller earlier who said, kind of left us high and dry. No, he didn't. No, he did not. No, he did not. He, believe me, he leaves you in a much better spot than what he inherited. And that's all anybody should ever aspire to do. You are way better off right now than you were when he got there. He helped rebuild you to prominence. He didn't leave you high and dry. Like I said earlier, he was there 12 years. How long was he supposed to stay? What would have been an appropriate departure? He didn't owe you anything else. He gave you everything he had. You want to think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all of your car care needs. They're close. They're convenient. They're known for their guaranteed everyday low prices and their excellent customer service. From the professional parts people you know you can trust, stop by your local O'Reilly Auto Parts today or go to O'ReillyAuto.com. My thanks to actor and producer and the number one on the new TV show for CBS, True Lies. Steve Howie. College Hall of Famer, NBA great, Larry Johnson came in. What a great conversation that was. Hey, nice job today by the callers. XR4TI, good job. Everybody have a great day. See you tomorrow. We're out.